This morning's Old Testament reading is Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, and in the Pew Bibles that can be found on page 483. Fret not yourself because of the wicked. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will dwell in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your vindication as the light, and your right as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over him who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall possess the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look well at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall possess the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Our second reading is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 31, and that can be found on page 991. Listen to God's word. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the wickedness of God is stronger. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in this world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Our gospel reading will be from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 12. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Christ, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, in a few more hours, most of our country will be glued to the television set watching the premier sporting event of the year, the Super Bowl. Yes, it's Super Sunday. And even though many of us preachers are sometimes disturbed about the encroachment of sports on the one day of the week that is allotted to the worship of God, I am at least grateful that the Super Bowl is taking place in the evening and not in the morning, so that you all have the opportunity to be here in this place this morning. Sports, of course, is very important, and football is very important in our nation. In some places, football is even a religion. I was reading recently online where a large percentage of Americans pray for their favorite football team. They actually pray that God will help their team to win football games. And I'm sure that there are many of you, perhaps, who are praying for your favorite team to win the Super Bowl. And I think that's appropriate. We ought to pray. We ought to pray about everything, including football, I suppose, as long as we keep in mind that there are other people praying for their respective teams, and someone is going to have to win and someone is going to have to lose. So we pray. But personally, I don't know if Jesus knows a whole lot about football. Not because football is just a game and Jesus has more important things to be concerned about, like issues of war and peace and the growing gap between rich and poor and the degradation of the planet. The God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ is the God who is concerned about even sparrows that fall to the ground. And so, yes, I imagine that Jesus perhaps pays a little bit of attention to football games, but I don't know that he knows a whole lot about them, because football values are so radically different than the values that Jesus came to show us and to teach us. Football, of course, is about assertiveness and success and winning. It's about confidence and competitiveness and control. It's about domination and force, and not a little bit of violence. We might call these values Super Bowl values, and we Americans are into those kind of values. We like those values. We favor people who embody those kind of values, Super Bowl values. But Jesus, as far as I can tell, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but Jesus seems to favor the exact opposite. Jesus seems to favor the meek and the lowly and the humble. At least that's what Jesus says in our gospel reading for this morning. You all heard it. Blessed, he says, are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are all of those people that we usually don't think are blessed. I used to live in the South, and the South is pretty much a religious part of the country, at least superficially so. I believe it was the writer Flannery O'Connor who once said that religion in the South is a mile wide, but only an inch deep. But in the South, people still engage in a lot of religious speak. So if you ask people how they are doing, they usually respond by saying, I'm blessed, thank you. We're blessed. But I don't think that they mean by that the same thing that Jesus means when Jesus talks about being blessed. When we say that we're blessed, we usually mean that things are going pretty well. Things are going pretty good, that the business is going pretty good, the job hasn't been downsized, the kids are not in trouble, everyone's in relative good health, my football team is in the Super Bowl, everything's going well, I'm blessed. But that's not what Jesus seems to mean. Jesus seems to be saying that blessed are you when things are not going so well. Blessed are you when you are hungering and thirsting for things to be made right in your lives and in the world. Blessed are you when you are mourning and grieving over the brokenness of the world. Blessed are you when you are being persecuted by the world. A whole different understanding of what it means to be blessed. And let's be honest this morning, it sounds a bit foolish what Jesus is talking about here this morning. It sounds foolish in a world that is dominated by Super Bowl values. And that's why I'm glad that you're here this morning, because this is really one of the only places where you will come and hear this kind of foolish talk. Almost nowhere else will you hear anyone say that the meek are blessed. Not in a world that is conditioned by Super Bowl values. Almost nowhere else will you hear someone say, blessed are the merciful, or blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the world to be made right, for justice. You'll hear that almost nowhere else except when you come here. And that's because the values that Jesus came to show us are different than the Super Bowl values that we see being played out all around us. We know, of course, in our world that the meek are not blessed. We know that what happens to peacemakers and people who are meek and people who are long-suffering and merciful, they usually get eaten alive. We know that peacemakers and those who hunger and thirst for the world to be made right are usually ignored. But Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed when this is your comportment. So what is Jesus trying to say to us? What exactly is Jesus trying to tell us with all of this talk that seems to defy common sense, that seems to defy our understanding of the world? What is Jesus saying? Well, first of all, these beatitudes, or blessings as they are called, are about the kingdom of God. They're about the coming reign of God in the world. Last week in Matthew's gospel, we read that one of the first things that Jesus does is he goes around the region of Galilee and he proclaims that the kingdom of heaven is near. And it's important to understand that when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, he's not just talking about that place that we go to after we die, but he's talking about the way things will look when God finally has God's way in the world. Jesus is saying that God's kingdom, the kingdom that he came to inaugurate, it is finally breaking into the world. It's finally at hand. This is the kingdom that Jesus comes to bring. But it's a kingdom unlike any other kind of kingdom, because Jesus is a king unlike any other kind of king. The kingdom of God really is a kingdom that favors the broken and the beat down. It really is a kingdom that favors those who mourn. It really is a kingdom for those who hunger and thirst for the world to be made right. Jesus is saying in these Beatitudes that this is what the kingdom of God looks like. It is for people who are broken and beaten down by the world. But Jesus isn't saying, therefore, go out and try to be a part of the broken down and the beaten. He doesn't say, go out and try hard to be a part of the meek. Go out and try hard to be a peacemaker and a reconciler. Go out and thirst and hunger for justice. He doesn't say that. Instead, Jesus wants us to do one thing. He wants us to follow him. That's what he tells us, to follow me. Follow me, follow my way into the world, follow my way into the kingdom, the way of self-giving love. Follow me. If you follow me, Jesus says, through the grace of God, you will find that you are a part of the blessed. If you follow me in the way of self-giving love, you will find that you will hunger and thirst for righteousness and for justice. If you follow me and follow my way of self-giving love, you will find that you become the kind of person who mourns and grieves over the brokenness of the world. If you follow me and the way of self-giving love, you will find more and more that you are the kind of merciful person who will forgive those who offend you. If you follow me, you will find more and more that you will have the power to serve God and to serve your fellow human beings in meekness and humility. If you follow me every step of the journey, you will find that your heart grows pure and pure for the things of God. Jesus says, follow me. Repent, turn away from the Super Bowl values of the world, and follow me. Now, the truth of the matter is that we would rather follow Peyton Manning than to follow Jesus. Or at least much of our world would rather follow our Super Bowl values than to follow Jesus. And that's because the way that Jesus is trying to show us is the way of the cross. And that looks terribly foolish to most of our contemporaries. The cross, for many of us, just don't make sense. It doesn't seem to accord with our understanding of reality. It doesn't look like people who would follow the cross are blessed. But Jesus says, follow me. Sam Wells reminds us that the Beatitudes are not just arbitrary blessings that Jesus is conferring upon those who follow him, but he reminds us that they are a part of Jesus' story. They are the story of Jesus in miniature. Jesus is the poor in spirit who becomes poor when he takes on the sins of the world. Jesus is the one who mourns in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is the meek one who never says anything, never opens up his mouth as he is being persecuted. Jesus is the one who thirsts on the cross. Jesus is the merciful one who from the cross says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what it is they're doing. Jesus is the peacemaker who tells Peter to put away his sword. Jesus is the persecuted one who is reviled by the religious authorities and the crowds on Good Friday. Jesus is the blessed one who tells us that if we want to be blessed, then we need to follow him. Follow the way of the cross. But again, we're not quite sure we want to give up the Super Bowl values that we really believe in. I'm convinced that most of the animus that is directed towards the church today is because much of our world recognizes that the heart of our faith is the heart that God has for those who are lowly and humiliated and who are beaten down, those who are of no account. Think of how easy it would be if our world was no longer haunted by a Christian consciousness. Think about what we would be able to do in the world. Think of how we would be able to simply ignore the cries and the pleas of people who have a hard time in our world. Think about how we would be able to run roughshod over people who work for us and people who labor for us. Think of all the things that we'd be able to do to children and to unborn babies if there's no Christian consciousness in our world. Think about the ways that we'd be able to ignore the poor in our world. It's the very fact that we have passages like this that you come to hear when you come to a place like this that reminds us that the Super Bowl values are not values that bring life, but the values that bring life are the values that Jesus comes to show us. Blessed are you. Blessed are you not when you're confident, not when you're competitive, not when you're powerful, not when you're dominant, but blessed are you when you are meek and long-suffering and merciful. Now, we're terribly clever people, we Americans. We're really very smart, and oftentimes when we're presented with a choice between two alternatives, we usually try to get around making a choice by combining them. And so one of the things we try to figure out is how we can keep the Super Bowl in Jesus too. How can we keep our Super Bowl values and keep Jesus too? And so we figured out how we can combine the two. We simply gut our Christian faith of the cross, and we keep the symbols and the iconography of our faith, and we just attach them on to our Super Bowl values. And we say that, you know, Jesus is the one who helps us to win. And Jesus is the one who helps us to trample over our foes. And Jesus is the one that we give credit to when we trample into the end zone. And Jesus is the one who helps us to gain all the material wealth and prosperity. It's all Jesus, we say. And if we just pray to Jesus, then he will help us with our Super Bowl values. But Jesus doesn't make it simple for us. Jesus says, no, you have a choice. You can choose your Super Bowl values, or you can choose the values that I come to show you. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to inherit the world? Do you really want to be blessed, or do you want to continue to journey in the direction of death? Jesus says to choose the way of life. Choose the way of blessing. Choose the way of love. This evening, when you are watching the Super Bowl, and I hope I haven't dissuaded any of you, I'm sure that I have not. But this evening, when you're watching the Super Bowl, enjoy it. Enjoy seeing the Seahawks trample all over Peyton Manning. But also remember that a story is being told and values are being inculcated, and we are asked constantly to make a difference and to make a choice. You can either choose the Super Bowl values of the world all around us, or you can choose the values of the Lord Jesus Christ, the values of eternal life. Choose life. Choose the kingdom of God. Choose the eternal and abundant life that God wants to give each and every one of us, because that's what it really, really means to be blessed. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks. We thank you for reminding us that you desire that we walk with you. You are taking us to a place that we're not quite sure we want to go. You're asking us to die to all of the things that we believe can save us: power, money, success. But we are reminded that what really saves us is the heart that seeks us out and loves us. What really saves us is your grace and your mercy. What really saves us is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross for all of us. And that is how we are saved. Not by power, not by force, not by domination, but by the reality of your self-giving love. We ask, Lord, that you help us to live that out in the world as we too go out and follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray this morning. Amen.